Welcome to Always Something, the podcast where we dive into the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unavoidable world of crisis communications. I'm Jamie, and every week we'll unpack the latest headlines, media moments, and entertainment disasters, exploring how things can go off course and how to steer them back. Whether it's a scandal, a setback, or a PR crisis, you can always bet there's always something to talk about. If you're in the biz or just intrigued by the drama behind the scenes, pull up a chair and let's get into it. Hi, and welcome to Always Something. I am Jamie. And yeah, it's been a lot of stuff going on. I have finally gotten over my cold. I'm feeling better, sounding better. So let's dive in. I have received quite a few messages about people asking me to do a deep dive on Diddy and his trial. And I was kind of like debating it. I was like, I wasn't sure if I had the proper angle for it, but now I feel like I have a deeper kind of understanding and perspective of the way I want to move forward with the podcast for it. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but Diddy's attorney, Anthony Rico, filed a motion in New York to withdraw from the case. And the statement reads, "Although I have provided Sean Combs with the high level of legal representation expected by the court, under no circumstances can I continue to effectively serve as counsel for Sean Combs. There are sufficient reasons related to the protections afforded by the attorney-client privilege for brevity in my application for withdrawal as counsel in this case." That reads cryptic. However, we are unable to fully and clearly speculate why his attorney did that. I have my personal assumptions, but my professional opinion is that as a comms person, right, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just very surprised that 2.5 months before the trial starts, the attorney withdraws. That can be a PR crisis. Like, what could he have possibly learned or determined that I need to, as a PR person, be prepared for to come out during the trial? What could have possibly happened? Now, Diddy's lawyers have had a few stumbles along the way with statements and addressing public issues, right? So the main thing that bothered me was the Cassie settlement, right? So Diddy and Cassie broke up. Cassie reached out to Diddy to do a settlement. And I firmly believe that the strategy could have been way better by Diddy and his lawyers and his PR team. So the settlement was a civil case. And Diddy said no. Cassie's lawyer said, all right, fine. If you don't settle, then we'll file a lawsuit. And Diddy, I don't know if his lawyers didn't believe her. I don't know if they were trying to strong arm her, probably. They were like, all right, if you don't settle, then we'll file a lawsuit. And then they went ahead and they filed the lawsuit. And then they were forced to settle like a day later, a couple days later. I think it was like the day after, maybe. And then what happened after that? Everyone else wanted money. The FBI got involved because it became public knowledge. And then everyone else just said, hey, this happened to me. And people raised their hand because they decided to file a lawsuit as well. And you the goal is to settle so that it doesn't become a lawsuit. That's the objective. And then they decided to settle after the lawsuit was made. I'm like, what's the point of that? And then what it turns into being is it becomes like an admission. And it opens the floodgates. Now, I told you guys this before, that celebrities get sued all the time. Businesses get sued all the time. It's just that we don't hear about it. We don't know about it. But it happens. And then it gets done quietly. And the lawyers involved also have an understanding that it won't be shared publicly. And people get their money or whatever, and they move on from it. And what happens too is that settlement isn't always a bad thing. Like it sometimes just saves a headache and it just pays off a problem. Now, sometimes the allegation can be true, sometimes the allegation cannot be true, but it eliminates the accessibility for the news to grab a hold of it. And that's what an allegation is that it's an allegation, it's not an admission. Some people see it as being an admission, but it's not always an admission. Sometimes you did do what the person's alleging, and sometimes you didn't, but you just want to pay them off, keep them quiet, and that way you can keep your businesses and keep everything together. And what happened is the lawsuit came. Diddy ended up paying her. The floodgates opened, and then everyone else said, hey, this happened to me. That happened to me. People were giving statements, people were giving interviews. And then the FBI got involved. And they were like, well, wait a minute. What's going on here? And then we have the Cassie video. And I'm still like struggling, I guess, like as a comms person, to understand what the Cassie video has to do with Diddy's allegations and what's happening with the freak-offs. I don't see how they're tied. And the Cassie video was an assault. It's a physical assault from on a man on a woman from a man. We saw it in plain view. We saw it. However, that video and that physical assault, I don't see how the video itself ties into the allegations of the freak-offs and the sexual assault from other victims. Someone else asked me, why do you think that they're holding Diddy as opposed to giving him bail? I'm not a lawyer, but my observation is that he probably should have been offered bail if he made the right kind of concession. What he was saying was, he's like, I'll just be in Miami. I'll give you guys my passport. I'll wear an ankle bracelet and everything will be good. No, you're not going to be hanging out in Miami if the case is in New York. We're not going to do that. If he had the right people in his circle that could perceive the optics of it publicly, if I were his comms person, I would have said, absolutely not. That is off the table. I'm not going to release a statement saying, hey, I'll be willing to do this. I'll sit, in Miami with my family and everybody else turns in their passports and then I'll just await trial there on home confinement. No. Now he's staying in jail. He's waiting until May, and he's basically sitting for almost a year, not quite a year, until the trial begins. In some cases, and in most cases, they hold you if they think you're going to be a flight risk or a danger to yourself or others. However, we can all agree that at least in the United States, in theory, everyone should be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But with the allegations that have come forward, his comms team, if he has one, is basically like swatting flies at this point. Like they can't keep up with it. It's almost to the point to where I don't believe he has a comms or a crisis comms or a PR person at all. I don't. There's no way he has one right now. He might try to hire someone at the start of the trial, which I don't know is a good idea. I think all statements to the press should come from his attorneys. And a lot of times what happens with being in PR and comms is that we don't always have to speak to the press, but we serve as an advisory role of how to manage interactions with the media, even if we're not saying anything. And our job is also to be a filter and to provide perception to the person that is the story, meaning this is the sentiment that is coming out about you or about your business. And just for your knowledge, this is what's happening here. We don't always have to issue a statement or write remarks about it. And I think people think that PR people and comms people only deal with things that happen in front of the camera. We also deal with things that happen behind the camera and provide knowledge and insight to our principal or to our subject. And we retain the information in preparation for isolated events so that people are not always caught off guard. Someone also asked me, do you think that Jay-Z will become a witness in the Diddy trial? I don't know. I'm not convinced that Jay-Z and Diddy were not as close of friends as Jay-Z is saying. I don't think that Jay-Z always saw eye to eye with Diddy on things, you know, that happens in business relationships and in friendships. You don't always agree on things. However, I do believe that Jay-Z's name will be brought up in the media, likely. I also believe that there are going to be celebrity names possibly brought up, but Diddy's team is going to work very hard to have those names redacted from the record, at least in the public record, for anonymity. Some people just don't want their name mixed up in this, and they went to a Diddy party 20 years ago, 15 years ago. They don't want to be messed up in this. They're trying to like move on with their lives. My assumption is that as we proceed with the trial, that Diddy and his business associates, previous record executives, and some of the artists that were signed to Bad Boy are going to start making more statements independently. Now, if they had PR people in their corner, they wouldn't be advised to jump on the bandwagon. In other instances in my career where something goes to trial or there's a settlement of some sort, you don't jump on the bandwagon. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you're prepared with the information that comes from the court proceedings and be aware of if you are mentioned or you have some access point or periphery to it. But you don't want to get intermingled into the fray because this is going to be an avalanche. And you don't want to be consumed into something that's so large that you can't break your way out of it, even if it is something that perceives you as being a victim of some of the allegations. Now, what are we as comms people expected to do in instances where our subject is in a very vulnerable place financially, with their reputation, with their career? How do we control it? How do we contain it? Especially if there's like legal proceedings and court proceedings, you follow what the lawyers say, right? So if your lawyers are saying that you are presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then any statement that you would make should be succinct, should be brief, and should be fully vetted by the lawyers. You don't want your lawyer writing the statement all the time because sometimes it gets like very legalese and it gets very large. And it's a challenge to interpret for the public space. And it could just lead to more questions. And sometimes, like, if an accusation comes forward, sometimes you don't always have to say anything, depending on like the scale of it. And some things just aren't worth the time and the money to draft statements and the man hours that comes with it and the billable hours that are coming up with this. This case, I believe, will be a very large opportunity for comms people to be in the mix and be in the fray. Like, I haven't seen anything to this scale maybe since like Harvey Weinstein, Michael Jackson, OJ Simpson. Like, this is really big. And there's no way that it's not going to be covered daily. I also wouldn't be surprised if they change their mind and allow cameras in the courtroom. That would be terrifying and embarrassing, I think, for some of the victims. But, you know, we'll see. That's all I think I'm going to say on this. As I have a lot of personal feelings about it, but let me know, you know, what you guys think about the Diddy trial that's coming up. We got like 2 months. But yeah, we have some time until the Diddy trial kicks off. So let me know your thoughts and I will talk to you guys soon. Because you know there's always something, right? Take care.